Isaias, cue the tiny violin music. You guys know why I'm playing this, right? Because Keegan wants to talk to you guys today about why he is single. So today, we're going to talk about Christian singleness and why Christians are single and why they have a hard time maybe finding out who their marriage partner is. But you know what, guys? We just gotta talk about it. What's up, that Supernatural Talk family? 5, 10, episode 15 is here today. And we got an amazing subject to talk about. It's going to help many of you single Christians out there because we're going to be talking about what makes it hard for Christians to get married or why are so many Christians single. A lot of Christians I've noticed, especially in this day and age, you know, are still single. A lot of them are around me. A lot of them are in ministries all over the world. And I think there could be something to do with, like, you know, the times and days we're living in. People are getting married later in life. Am I saying across the board that singleness is a problem? No, singleness can be a blessing, especially as you're building a foundation and everything like that. So being single is not a curse. But I find out when people become Christian, it's almost like some of them have such a hard time really committing out of fear or, you know, out of even past traumas, which is fear and a whole lot of other things. But we're going to talk to single guys here today. It's good that they're still single so we could do this podcast episode. But why are Christians, well, how would I say this? Why are many Christians still single after they even have come to Christ? Well, before we jump in, I want to introduce you to the three single glory boys. That doesn't give you guys a right to jump in the DMs, just to let you know. But you know, if the Lord's leading, whatever. All right. I want to introduce you to glory boy number one and number three sitting next to each other. We got Isaias Poche and Martin Jean.
Familia.
Hola, ¿cómo está?
Ooh. And we got glory boy number three.
Number two.
Oh, sorry. Glory boy. Man, he got on out. Glory boy number two. Keeg's eyes. Keegan.
What's up, fam? It is finished.
It is finished, baby.
Oh. It's not home at.
It isn't working.
It's not right. Working, but it says.
It almost finished. Did, bro. It almost did. All right. It was worth the try, right? Amen. Hope you guys have been enjoying these podcast episodes. So this podcast is episode 15, and it's titled, we should title it, Why Christians Are Single, or Why Christians Are Still Single, or
The Epidemic of Single Christians.
Do you think that is a big problem in the body of Christ, from what you've seen? Is there a lot of single Christians out there? Is there an epidemic? That's not an epidemic.
No, there's not.
No, I think you're just trying to make the podcast sound cool.
Yeah.
No, it's you know, it's true though. Why do some Christians have a hard time getting married? Why Christians
have a hard time getting married?
Have a hard time getting married. That could be a good podcast topic. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
You see, guys, we were going to talk about singleness and Christianity and stuff, and the good and bad of it. The good part of being single versus the bad, versus why some may have a hard time getting married. Whatever it may be, you know, things like that. I think this could turn into a really good episode. You guys, y'all are seeing some raw stuff right now. We're figuring it out on the go on this episode for sure. But I know that, you know, Isaias had already had revelation to talk about this. I said something and it just lined up with his revelation. So let's talk about Christian singleness, you know?
Yes.
And what could be some hindrances to you getting married as a Christian? Why some Christians have a hard time getting married? That's a good one right there. Podcast title dropped right there. Welcome to that Supernatural Talk, episode 15, with a lot of other stuff before I even dropped the title. All right. Anyway, you know the title, guys. Let's talk about it, okay? So I'm going to start with Isaias because he's glory boy number one. Isaias, yes, when I ask you the question, why is it hard for some Christians to commit to marriage? are to find the one. Just from you and your walk for the last 3 years with this ministry, per se, because this is how long I've watched you, what would you say some of the biggest hindrances are? Or what would you say some of the holdbacks of not jumping in the water too fast or whatever it may be? But just talk about whatever the Lord puts on your heart.
This hits home more than you think, though, man of God, but it comes down to like lack of trust in God.
Yeah. I've seen you dub quite a few.
I mean, we're not gonna talk about that right now, man of God. But it's like
I've even seen them come after you and tell you they saw you in their dreams and God told them you were their husband. Like, we've seen that. I've even seen them do that to Keegan. And I think they've done it to Mark too. But Isaiah, what is that, man? Like, does that make it difficult, bro? Like, oh, this is a real podcast right here. This is like, we are in it. Yeah.
I think God, because it says the Holy Spirit bears witness, you know, to the things that Jesus says to us, right?
And they come in all different shapes and sizes, by the way. But go ahead.
But I think it boils down to not trusting God and
nothing wrong
the
with that, by the way, because I know somebody will get offended by me saying that. But this is raw talk right here, guys.
You're too deep, man.
I'm just telling you, I've seen it. I mean, people are different, right? Like, some people are skinny, some people are not so skinny. And, you know, if it offends you, then sorry, but not sorry.
Let's keep it raw. Let's continue.
Yeah, let's just raw about it. Go ahead. Go ahead. Let me stop talking before I get in trouble. Somebody's already in the comment section. I can see it now saying, it's okay though. It's okay. They want to see the podcast. They got to hear from the man of God.
Amen.
The man of God.
Amen.
Go ahead.
That was good, man of God. To just keep it 100, it's just lack of faith, a lack of trust. Wanting us to do it our way, at our speed, and how we want to do things. It just never works out the way we want it to. It's always in God's will. And I personally have seen in my own life, like, me wanting to do stuff or like pursue someone that, like, it's not in the will of God. It's not in God's way of timing or anything. It's completely against the will of God. Yeah. And I've kind of forced it, which is then like, which causes like nicks in the armor, or like dents, or like wounds, or like attacks, you know what I'm saying? So sure. It's like the enemy wants to get you in any way he can, right? And if he can't just directly hit you, he'll try to like slowly damage you along the way. So like, and that leads people to be like, either throw it all away or just hop in the whole river. You know what I'm saying? And then they're like now in like la la land. But
yeah, we've seen some Christians, they'll get married out of like the wrong intentions, the wrong places, or they weren't ready. Like, the man can't truly provide, or like the woman regrets marrying this person. And then they're in like horrible things. They get mad at even preachers and leaders that put them together, but really they came together. You know, it's just a lot that moves around because things are done prematurely. Things are done out of order. Things are not done the way that they should be done. You know,
a tremendous lack of patience is one thing. And the mentality, especially in
it's the microwave generation.
Yeah. Right? The microwave generation, especially in my generation, right? Like, we want something quick. We want something fast.
Right.
We want confirmation after confirmation. Go, go, go. And we're like, and on top of that, over spiritualizing everything. Like you said, like the I'm going to say it, the women of God, who say, hey, I've seen you in a dream, or hey, I've seen you, you know, doing this. And, you know, we were together. And I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, God ain't never told me nothing.
And the Bible literally tells us not to get seduced by people that come with these dreams and these vain imaginations. And we say vain, it means things that are appeasing to the flesh. You know, some of you watching this, you may idolize marriage, and you can do that, believe it. You can make an idol of marriage. You can put marriage before God, which is the marriage you should have first, right?
Amen.
Married to Christ. And next thing you know, you're having these dreams and desires that are birthed from your flesh and not from the heart of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit. So, you know, you want to make sure that you subdue those things. That's one of the biggest problems of like Disney movies and stuff, is they paint this reality of like romance and love that's not necessarily true. Or people read romance novels, and or they watch novellas or romance movies, and they want to get caught into like that world, and they want to experience it and live it, especially, you know, ladies, because you ladies are emotionally stimulated way more than us men are, where we're more physically stimulated. And that's, you know, that's difference of opinion too, because it could work either way.
Right.
But women are necessarily read that stuff and they get this imagination and they see a man that looks godly or carries the characteristics to an extent of what they read, and they go, that's my husband. And next thing you know, they're dreaming, they're doing this stuff, and then they'll put God said, don't even realize, not even realize they're about to seduce somebody, you know? And you've seen that. I know you've seen that, Isaiah. Mm-hmm. We've seen it, you know? Mm-hmm. And no offense to any of you ladies that are watching that may have thought Isaiah was your husband. I'm just saying, you know, we've seen it, and it isn't necessarily true. Nobody's ready. I've seen people leave states, cities to move down and go after a guy or a girl and end up tremendously disappointed,
right?
You know, because it wasn't God that was leading them,
right?
You look like you have something you want to say to that, Keegan.
No. I don't have anything to say. No, I was just thinking.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think led you to go into like big debt on a wedding ring? Do you think it was honestly though? Do you think there was some family history there that was? Wendy, I hope you're watching this. We love you.
You got to get backstory. Yeah, though. Yeah. People don't understand. What are you talking about? Into debt for what? What are you talking about?
Say that again.
You got to get some backstory. You know what I'm saying? You didn't kind of just threw it in there.
Yeah, because I'm saying is that family history that had you prematurely jump into go into debt for somebody before even marrying them? Where honestly, a woman could care less how much the ring costs, you know?
Yeah.
Well, unless they're... Is Gold Digger? You can't say that. All right. Yeah. Ladies can get delivered from the gold digging spirit.
Amen.
Oh, amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
is what it is, baby.
No, I would just say there's definitely within my family. It's, I don't know how to describe it, but it was growing up, it was always work hard to have like the best possible thing.
Remember, grandma's probably going to watch this.
Yes. Hi, Mamaw. I love you. No, my Mamaw is actually not, it actually wasn't like that.
So now Wendy's mad at you.
She's not really like super into material things, I would say. Mm. Like my grandparents were pretty modest, but like my mom, it definitely was just like, working hard to have nice things. I love you, Mom.
Okay,
but it was working hard to have nice things and like trying to have the best and, you know, making sure that if
it's nothing wrong with working hard.
Yeah. But like giving your wife like the best possible thing. You know what I'm saying? It's like even with my stepdad, he's all like always like, you know, trying to give my mom what she wants, you know, like. So it was just one of those things, you know, and I definitely was immature and not where I am now for sure. And I wasn't allowing myself to go into debt.
Knowing what you know now, would you have went into debt on a wedding ring like that?
No, not at all.
Were you prepared to be married?
No, not at all.
Why did you want to get married? This is good. It's going to help a lot of single people out there.
Yeah. This is the thing is that throughout the Bible, because Bible talks about marriage, obviously. Bible doesn't really talk as much on singleness, but what I have learned in the Bible is that it says a couple of things. It says that the man therefore must leave his mother and father. So he must you know, leave the home, right? It also says that he must, you know, honor his wife. That's a really, really big thing, is honoring them and providing for them. And in that season of my life, I was not in any of those places. I was not in a place to financially provide for the woman who I wanted to marry. I was not in a season where I had fully left home. And this is what a lot of young Christians deal with, the driving force being sexual morality. And I know a lot of people may want to fight back with me on that, because they're saying, oh, well, I'm, you know, by getting married, that's me defeating sexual morality. But getting married is not going to defeat your lust problem.
Listen, you know? Lust, I'm telling you, lust will deceive you and make you believe such a false narrative. I know this, trust me. Make you believe such, you will have people giving you wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and you will fight. Because that lust is so powerful and strong in your life, you know?
Yeah. And There definitely were a lot of driving factors behind it. Believe it or not, actually, that relationship was like my first ever serious relationship where, you know, we had been officially dating for like not even a week, and we were at each other's Thanksgiving and Christmases. I even remember like taking a family photo, like with her family on Christmas, and then hanging it up on their wall. Like, we definitely rushed.
Who hung that on the wall, bro?
Her family. Yeah. Like, it was crazy.
And we know that you're going to watch this. We love you dearly.
Yeah.
But he's talking about his history and singleness.
So. Yeah. I mean, it was like
on the wall.
Yeah. Like, we
like the family was cool with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, they asked me to take a family portrait with them because her grandfather was passing, and they wanted like one last, like really good, like family photo for Christmas. And so, yeah.
What do you do with that?
Yeah.
What?
This is the thing. And this is, I hope this is helping young single Christian people.
Show me Mark's face right now.
Mark is just like, I know it was.
There's grace.
Because Mark got his time coming too. Keep going, Keith. You know what's funny though?
It was just super rushed, is what I'm getting at.
I know I'm joking and playing, but at the same time, I did the same thing. I used to get girlfriends, and I would have them write with my mommy and daddy at the family things. I remember I dated an older girl at one time, and I was like, come to the Easter thing. And she's sitting there like, what?
Yeah.
And she's like, okay. And you know what's funny? I invited her and dumped her later.
Yeah.
Like, why did I bring her to the thing, you know?
Yeah.
I think when you come from like a broken family, you bring maybe girls and guys to get the approval of your family.
Yeah.
It makes you feel good.
Yeah. Right. 100%.
And I used to do that. And then I got to a point like I didn't want to show none of them off.
Yeah.
You know, because I was like, man, I didn't miss the mark so many times, you know.
They would be like, new girl this week?
Yeah. Exactly. They would, my family would literally tell me, they'd be like, who's next?
See, but it's almost like the opposite for me, because this was like the first time that I ever really, really had like a serious relationship, and like, you know, like it was really serious. And I think another thing.
How long serious?
Huh?
How long serious? You said it's really serious. So serious is a very opinionated term. So how serious?
I was going to marry them.
No, I understand.
That's not what I'm asking.
Because when you say serious, you're talking like, yo, it's like we've been together a long time.
No, we were not together for a long time.
So it wasn't that serious. It was serious based on lust.
I don't. It was, this is why I think it became so serious, was because, and I think that a lot of young Christians do this, is that you date to marry, right? Like you date to marry.
Well, you should
you
not
don't just
date.
Casually date.
You should court.
Exactly.
You should court and build a friendship, build and be around people and not get caught in like weird places. I see that's what really destroys people, is they date alone. Mm-hmm. And they end up in immoral places because the passion.
Yeah. I mean, and that's exactly what happened. But we were at a spot where there were so many high expectations, like, because it was honestly myself. Like, I just put so many expectations on who I would, because to me, it's like, I'm going to marry this person if I choose to date them, which I know is like super, super extreme, but like, that's where I was. I was kind of in like that religious mindset, you would say, and like very, very legalistic mindset, in the sense of like, if I even choose to say yes to date this person, then I'm like, there's like a 99% chance that I'm going to marry them. Like, it was like, shoot, like
99,
but seriously, like, I mean, I was, like, and I had such expectation, like, and so like, it was what we talked for. I remember we were at a coffee shop. We talked for hours and hours over every single thing you could possibly think of. Like everything, like before we even started officially dating.
You know, one thing I'll give you, this is one thing I'll give Keegan, because I'm like, you know, Barbarian Dan over here. Keegan is like great at talking. And one of the things ladies really love, and I think Isaias will know this, and maybe even Mark, is they love a talker, somebody that will talk with them, you know, emotionally stimulates them. That's like huge for a lady. I'm being serious, man. Unless you're with like one of them Miss Save a Dude, you know, Miss Save a Thug. You ever heard of Miss Save a Thug?
Oh my gosh, man.
Isaiah used to be a thug.
Man of God.
So he was a Miss, he had a lot of Miss Save a Thugs. You got, look, guys, I know you're laughing and I know this is funny, but I'm being so serious. So this is what happens in the world. And some of you ladies may have been this. Some of us guys may have been this. But you find a man. So you'll have an alphabet friend, right? And then you'll find a man, and the alphabet friend is the one you're talking to. Oh, girl, I know, blah, 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 blah. And then you go over here to Mr. You want to save a thug, because that's really what you want him to be, but secretly you don't, because you like the thrill of the chase and the thrill of trying to save, and you like the Romeo-Juliet thing of like, we can't be together, but we can. And like, you go over and talk to this person, like, that's how the world works. So I had to play multiple roles when I was in the world. I had to play them, you know, I'm going to be the bad guy. Then sometimes I shift to the good guy. Then I was the bad guy again. And, you know, you got, it's all in what you want. But then if they start taking advantage of you being the good guy, you got to go to the bad guy. And you got to act like you don't care. But do you see how the chaotic thought process is in the world of playing that game? Or, you know, you have in the world what's called friends with benefits. So you got your little friend with a benefit, but you got your friend that will only, you're only speaking to them, but they don't get, you know. That's world. That's the world. So when Christians, or when people transition from that reality to this one, like migrating all of this stuff, navigating through all of this stuff, and getting all of the trash out, I think this is another reason we have so much singleness at times in Christianity, or why we see people get with people, break up with people, get with people, break up with people, because there was a training in the world that needs to be broken, right? The beautiful thing is you got two Christians, you have it good. So Keegan, I was just trying to tell you, you know, you're really good. And let me ask you this, in the world... He doesn't want me to ask you, but I'm giving you guys understanding. So
this is so good.
It is. Isaiah was the
Don't do it. All right, go ahead. Do it.
You and Mark both. Y'all sitting together for a reason. Oh man. You and Mark. Yes, you and Mark were the. Yeah, y'all were the like. Y'all weren't dealing with a lot. Y'all just, you know, good to meet you, lady, and whatever. And then you had Keegan, and Keegan was the sweet guy who was going to be everybody's emotional ear. And tell me, was that true or not?
Yes.
And then, listen, I'm stereotype talking now. You had the bigger friend who you just talked with all the time, but that friend was falling in love with you, but you didn't want anything to do with her.
That was a whole word of knowledge.
Right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I told you that.
You did tell me that. I know he ain't gonna give you that glory, boy. Trust me.
I don't want people to be deceived.
No, no.
Oh my goodness.
Who's gonna be deceived? Deceived of what?
No, I was just actually wondering, like, no,
deceived.
Isaiah is like, that's a word of knowledge, and I was like, no, I was like, I told you that.
Yeah, but who's trying to deceive anybody? My Lord, yeah. What in the world? Oh, Keegan is—he's kicking back now, boy. No, I'm not, hey, this is a podcast. Listen,
no, you're the one that taught me that. If there's a that's not a word of knowledge. If you've been told that before,
hallelujah. But it's not deception. Sometimes people can like really just forget that they were subliminally told it. I know I did hear that from you, so we ain't gonna allow no deception to be out there.
That was the wrong.
You know how many clickers we got on here, right?
Amen. I hope more click.
Listen, no, we don't. No, no, no. You don't want these people to, because these are the clickbait video guys. Look, listen. Oh. Yes, listen. You had that friend. And if I would have gotten a word of knowledge like that just from knowing you, regardless.
I know.
I can't do it.
Listen. So you had the friend.
Yes.
And that friend eventually falls in love with you, but you don't want nothing to do with that friend.
Yeah.
But that friend would have probably been a really good wife.
Oh, she would have been. I mean, she basically was doing wife okay. duties.
So you,
except obviously not physical, but like she was like she was doing my laundry. She was doing dishes. Like I mean, she was helping me clean stuff. She's helping me with my homework. I mean, like all that stuff.
You really did her dirty.
It was a mutual falling out. But yes, no, there's definitely things
falling
out.
Y'all was falling in at one point then?
No.
You talking about falling out? You
said it's just, it came to a point.
There was an entanglement. No, you're talking about falling out.
It came to a point where she was so dependent on me in so many aspects, like even in her spirit, because
there was an emotional soul tie there.
Oh, horribly.
And y'all
horribly
lived together.
Yes, for almost 3 years.
Y'all were married, bro. Just
basically
emotionally.
Yeah, no, seriously.
I mean, how y'all didn't fall into physical stuff.
It was
stuff.
No, man of God. No,
uh-oh.
No.
Oh.
No, I just, it was.
But
you know what? But she's actually married now.
That's good.
She's married now.
Hallelujah.
To your friend. Yeah.
No, I don't know him.
Oh, you don't? There was a guy that you were after a girl, but she.
Oh, no, that's a whole other situation. Yes, that was that.
These are the before time stories, guys, but it's good to add this stuff in.
This was before I even got saved, where I was with a girl and like I was like chasing after her hardcore.
And friend just came to play Mr. Steal Your Girl.
I like, thought she was your girl, bro. You said she was your girlfriend, bro.
No, yeah, she was.
She was your girl. And your friend left her and got married to her.
No.
I mean,
your friend
got her and got married.
Yeah. So we were a thing, right? Whatever you want to call it. Then we were friends with benefits.
Was that your girlfriend? Yes or no?
Yes. I took her to prom. Like, we went to prom together. Like, I was like, but it was a short season. I mean, it was like 3 months of that. And then we stopped that because I found out she was texting some dude at prom.
Wow.
She was texting some other dude.
She had daddy issues.
And majorly. And then, she's like, well, I just want to be friends with benefits because you're going to college, whatever. Kind of like what you were talking about earlier.
But the friends with benefits was just so she could talk to the other guy, but still give herself away to you to make you feel like you're okay.
I think I was more of like, she really liked that I was like doing things for her, like taking her out to eat all the time, spoiling her. I took her shopping, like, you know what I'm saying? She was like the guy who would hang out with me, you know,
the girl, not guy.
Sorry. She was the girl who would hang out with me all the time, you know, or I was the guy. That's what I was trying to say. I was the guy who was like doing stuff for her.
The sugar daddy.
Exactly. And then she was going, and then I found out she's hooking up with my friend at the same time, apparently. And then I find out that they start dating. Like, when I'm in college, that was a really rough day. But and then I just went on, and then I just saw her, and then I don't know how, but I think I stumbled across his Instagram, or I don't know who it was. And now I found out because they separated, and she dated a whole other dude in college. And now I just found out, like, just recently they got back together again.
Wow.
And now they're dating again.
Wow.
That's crazy.
That's a whole story, man.
That is a whole story.
Guys, what about you? You got some crazy stories you want to share about your past? I don't know, man. I don't know. Everybody's got a past. Everybody's been one of those characteristics. And you're probably saying, why are y'all talking about this? You're just rambling on. No, this is all leading up to what we're really going to get into the meat of. And that's why Christians sometimes have a hard time getting married. And it's because of these traumas, these pasts, these things that don't necessarily get healed. And some of you are probably listening, still identifying with these characteristics or traits, or these traits are still in you, and it's causing you to become a problem in a church. Mm-hmm. It's causing you to not really go to listen to sermons, but to find out who the next boyfriend or girlfriend. Let me see when the next retreat is or the next missions trip is so that we can find a hut somewhere in a third world country, and then we can really get together. Guys, I'm telling you, this is how people think, man. And you got to crush these things or you'll be married to the wrong person.
Wow.
Or you'll be prematurely married. You know, I remember back in the day, I would go on trips and sometimes the tension, and you guys, I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but the tension between you and another individual, you can feel that tension. And it's like it's like a sexual tension.
It's like a magnetism.
Yes, it's like, it's lust. And it wants to draw you. It's a spirit. Because it wants to sabotage you. And that happened to me in the past. It sabotaged you. It want to take you out. So that's what sometimes people do. And these people will get married and then they'll come together in ministry, but then there will never be ministry because they're angry, they're upset, their emotions can't be fed because their flesh was fed first. And then you got to work through a whole season of grace to get restored and to go through all these things and really get to where you need to be. So don't hear me wrong. I'm not saying God can't do something amazing. He can't restore it. There isn't grace. But why would you put yourself through that? You know, so as for some reasons, I believe some Christians have a hard time to get married, or they marry wrong, or they end up in situations that require a lot of grace and a lot of healing.
Yeah.
You know, this is my thing. I teach these guys, this is my thing with men in ministry. Well, especially these guys right now, because they're closest. First of all, be able to be a man of God. Do what the Bible says. The Bible says a man who doesn't provide for his family, for his home, is worse off than a heathen. So I don't think people take that seriously. Like, it's bad. God literally looks at you as a heathen if you can't provide and take care of your family. Like, you guys know I got three kids. Do I provide for them?
Yes.
Do I take care of them?
Yes.
Do I provide for you guys?
Yes.
Do I take care of you guys?
Yes.
Ain't that funny? Ah. Think about that. Not only do I, by the grace of God, get to take care of my family, I take care of other people and their families.
Amen.
By God's grace. And a lot of people don't know that, but you know now. But I'm not saying that to boast in my own strength. I'm saying when you do things right, when you can provide for your own family, God will trust you for more, because he knows you're going to help others and you're going to help them be provided for too, so that they can build a foundation and they can become provisional. So when you do things right, when you get in line, God will bless you, because you're following principles. And I've seen men who really truly provide for their homes, who love their wives, who love their children. God really blesses them, man. It's a principle. And you can do more. But when you come in upside down, you got to like go up a mountain. It's like fighting up a mountain, because there is not a woman alive on this earth that does not want to have a man that they feel strong with. I'm not saying that the woman doesn't have the right to make more money. I'm not saying that at all. But at least you need to have a man who, you know, if you weren't making the money, could still take care of you. There's a sense of security there, you know? There's a sense of security there. You don't want things to be upside down. Because usually what happens is when the woman is the main provider, and she, things become upside down, and like, it's something spiritual. I can't even explain it. It's some spiritual thing that happens. The man kind of like gets castrated spiritually in a way, and starts to feel some type of way. I'm not saying that's necessarily the full case, but I've seen it several times. You know, ladies love to feel like their man can protect them, their man can provide for them, their man's got their children. I mean, it does something for a woman. And when you do that, the woman isn't necessarily going to nag unless she's just got a whole Jezebel in her, you know, and needs to be set free. But yeah, Mark, tell us a little bit. We ain't heard much from you, man. What do you think keep some of these wonderful, amazing, handsome, and beautiful Christian men and women from committing to marriage or almost jumping in too far, too fast?
Well, to me, I can remember personally for me, just, you know, the what the media pushes out, you know, what the world pushes out.
That's good.
Was such a big negative influence in my life. To be honest, media conditioned me more than my parents growing up. And it literally devalue what love looks like through the music, and here's the thing, like, you know, music, the things we watch, TV shows, celebrities, all of these things were things people look up to, especially in your teenage years. You know, a lot of people look up to celebrities and their friends more than their parents. And especially if you're someone that was dealing with rejection and insecurities, you know, a lot of the times you'll run to an outside source rather than your parents to gain understanding and things like that. So a lot of my influence were coming from negative friends, things that I watch, and I end up just kind of, you know, gravitating to what the world tells you. And I believe that a lot of single people have a hard time getting married because they have been conditioned. They have been really accustomed to the world, right? Romans, yeah. 12, verse 2? Do not be
conformed to this world. Be transformed, yeah.
Yeah, literally, my mind was into the world, and what I couldn't see the way God see at that point.
Right.
And I end up just kind of doing what everybody else did. I thought, you know, having a girl on the side was cool. And it was just literally taking away all those good morals that the Bible talks about that we should walk in. And I think it kind of it leads you down a really dark path, especially because now you're not in the spirit anymore. You're in the flesh, and the flesh is it gravitates to whatever it wants. Right? There's no self-control there. There's no patience. There's no love. So, you know, trying to marry one person was like a myth. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know.
Taboo.
It was a taboo, and it was considered lame in a way.
So you wanted to be the tribal chief?
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, pretty much. And I found out very quickly that singleness, man, really reveals selfishness. I think marriage reveals selfishness in people. You don't realize how much, I guess, you're selfish until you're married. Mm.
Oh, absolutely. That's why right? That's why we have so many marital fights and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something, man. Marriage crushed me. Crushed me several times until I got it right. So, yeah, you're right, man. It reveals, marriage reveals, because you're with another person 24/7, you're yoked, you're married. It like, you, if you're selfish, it hurts the other person. You know, like I bought something today, right? And one of the things, I don't know if you guys heard me, I was talking to Heather. Mark, you were there.
Yeah.
And what did I tell my wife? I said, I cannot buy this unless I have your agreement.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So, you know, what happens is people do stuff in marriages and doesn't have the agreement. You got to be in agreement. If two touch and agree, amazing things happening. The Lord is going to be there in every decision. You know, now, where two or three gather in my name. It, you know, that was actually talking about a situational thing, but it's true though. Where there's agreement, where there's a touching together of heaven, a decision, everything works good. And actually, listen, some of you guys are wondering in a marriage, how do you get God behind something in your marriage? You guys agree and God will back it. Mm-hmm. But if like you want to go buy a toy and your wife goes no, or vice versa, if you go and do that, you're actually fighting against the grain, you're kicking against the goads, and you're in disagreement. And if there's disagreement, there's going to be problems later on. Mm-hmm. So, like, that's why today, Mark, you can say, I was like, oh, babe, please, please.
Yeah, you're just like, you got to agree.
You got to agree. I can't just go unless you agree. And I'm telling you, men and ladies, y'all, I believe y'all agree with me on this. You know what I'm saying? But yeah. That was good, Mark. A lot of people are grown by the media. A lot of people are raised by the media. Mm-hmm. You know?
And well, so, I mean, that's really a big factor.
You know? Huge. The media is raising a lot of people today.
Yeah, big time. And I mean, we talk about how even in the Black community, we have a high divorce rate. We have.
I think that's in every cultural community.
Yeah, we're right now at this point. But I mean, a big factor of it, man of God, is media influence.
Yeah.
A huge part of it is that. And
it's trying to steal monogamy.
Mm. Mm.
Wow, that's good. Yeah, it wants us to be in polygamous mindset, or like this is going to get old eventually. You know, and I think, listen, let's just be real, right? Ladies, I think of fear. Men... I'm a man. I don't have this fear inside of me, by the grace of God, of I'm going to get old and my wife's going to bounce, you know? Mm-hmm. But sometimes, and you know, ladies, you can correct me. Sometimes I think as ladies get older, I think they get, you know, that's with men too. I think it's with men and women. Would you agree? Or would you feel it stronger on the other side?
I think it's stronger more on the woman's side.
Yeah, they get it's older and stronger. Then like they see the younger... There's a threat there. Only reason, because I kind of lived that in one of my past relationships. They wouldn't admit it, but it's kind of like a threat there. And like it actually caused issues and it attracted the wrong thing. So ladies, if you're watching, if you're insecure because you're getting older or you don't look like you used to, or you see a girl coming around that quote unquote looks better than you, she's just young, you know? Don't let that fear overtake you, because it can cause issues and attract spirits, you know? And I've seen it, and they can attack the man. When your husband outright loves you, you know, find your worth in Christ. Know that you're valuable. And remember, it's the heart, not the body. The body deteriorates. The body's going. But if the heart stays pure, the heart stays right. You have nothing to worry about. Keep the heart pure. Keep the heart right. But I think, there's some truth to that too. Like, there's a little insecurity that comes up and that can cause issues, you know? Mm-hmm. You want to say something to that?
I just think it's really cool that, like,
and men, listen, men too, though. Men, there is some men out there that have that insecurity.
Yeah.
You know, I don't see myself that way, you know?
There's a lot of men I realized who gain weight when they get married. They gain a lot of weight.
Oh, absolutely. Especially
like as the wife is getting pregnant or whatever and all the stuff they say, like, you know, like a dad bod. And I definitely think that men can get jealous or self-conscious at younger men that are maybe working out or other men who are like working out and in the gym and all that stuff.
You see 50, 60 year olds rocking that TRT and just jacked.
Yeah. But jacked. I think that a lot of guys gain weight though when they get married. I've seen my friends go through. I've seen one of my best friend gained a lot of weight after he got married. Like a bunch.
I saw a dude, Isaiah, his friend come around the other day. I was like, what? He's like, yo, just getting married. And I'm like, whoa. You know, I'm like, you didn't look like that, bro.
Yeah.
I think we become comfortable.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Yeah.
And then you can't get mad when the chacho comes around, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Let it be motivation to get yourself in shape.
Yeah.
You know, though, here's the thing, though. Don't look at Instagram influencers, though, man.
I was just about to talk about
that. Yeah. Don't look at that, man. Because let me tell you guys, them people they get on like a 4-week diet and they take like 20 pictures for the rest of the next 6 weeks. And then they eat like buttercream ice cream and all this stuff. And then they go through another. They know how to play the system and play the game. Some people have really good genetics and they got natural six packs. But to hold a six pack, even me, I can get a six pack. But to hold that is like
really difficult.
It's difficult. I naturally have a layer of skin over my belly, you know, and that's okay.
I was going to say how like social media portrays this image of like, hey, if you're not married at this age, then like you're missing it. Or like if your marriage doesn't look like this, then you're missing it. Or like, oh, look how cute we are. Or like, oh, look how we met. Or look how we did this. And like, then it leaves this huge open space.
That tree is attacking you back there. That might be Groot.
Receive grace. But it's like we put ourselves in this competition of comparison, like this race of comparison. Like, I need my relationship to look like this. I need my wife to look like this. I need my husband to look like this. I need our marriage to look like this. But in reality, the foundation and the base, the baseline is Jesus, how Jesus loved the church. You know, and we've been so focused on how social media relationships look that we're like, where's my wife? Where's my Ruth? Where's my Boaz for the females, you know?
You know, another deception that's out there, like I was praying for a young lady the other day and the Lord told me she wanted to be an OF girl. And I revealed it in front of the mother. I was like, you better be glad the Lord's revealing this to me right now so that she don't walk into that. And she was like, yeah, it's true. But here's the thing.
She lied at first though.
She told the truth later. She was like, how does this guy know this? You know, they get caught red-handed. Uh-huh. And the Holy Spirit reveals. But This is the mindset of ladies in that today. And this is for men. This is men too. I keep saying ladies, but it's not to be like targeting them harder. It's just, I see a very big attack on them a lot today because of like society flipping things upside down and stuff. But it like OF, like there is giving this mindset of I can just go out here, trash myself throughout my 20s. And I've seen this when these OF girls or, you know, hub girls or whatever, they get into their like mid-30s. It's like now they want to quit. Now they want to quit. Now they got a reality check. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of like Kim Kardashian or Pamela Anderson. Like they're older now. Like they're in their, like getting near, they're getting close to 50 or older, right? 40s, late 40s, 50s. Like you're not seeing them in that type of content and all that stuff now because, well, you know, they used it to get famous, but like, I see them and like, who do you think really after you've been like, only by the grace of God can it be restored. But like, if you're out there like that and your content's out there like that and people, I'm telling people screen record, people screenshot. Once it's out there, you can try to delete it and remove it. It'll never be deleted and removed. It's out there. So now you come into Christianity because you feel like retiring because you've made all this money and now you feel like you're good enough to be a Christian or you want to switch over, right? But now nobody really wants to mess with you because they got to look at you with other people on the internet. Do you see what I'm saying? So people want to like get married and stuff, but then like the single monster's after them all the time because of what they did. Now, with that being said, if you're truly repentant, you truly changed your heart, God's grace can come and you can be a voice and an advocate against that. That's a whole different story. You know, I've seen many, many, many former OF or stars, they come out and they are married. They're happily married, but they're also advocating their testimony as a weapon against the enemy. So you have to weaponize the very thing that was used against you to go against the enemy. And I think things become like different then. But some of them just think they're going to walk out, everything be okay, their past will completely disappear. Hey, I love Jesus, but I want to talk about my past. No, you have to talk about your past. It's a testimony, which is what Jesus set you free from, you know? So I think like that's being painted today, and we need to do our best to keep, you know, as a father, I have two girls. As a father, you raise your girls up with morals and understanding and let them know that, hey, like dads, date your daughters, right? Take your daughters on daddy-daughter dates and stuff. Let them know what a man really looks like so that the deceiver can't come around the corner and give them something that is wrong, you know? My girls remember when I take them on dates. They remember it. It's crazy. Like, it's a big deal for them. Like, she's like, I remember my daddy-daughter date. Are we going to go on another daddy-daughter date? They remember the daddy-daughter dances. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a big, big deal, man. It's a big deal. They remember the revivals they're in with me. So, like, take it serious, man. Take it serious and raise your children right so that, you know, they don't get the single monster and they can find a proper man or woman of God.
Yeah. I think that's a lot of issues too now, is that there's so many people come from broken homes.
Sure.
And that can be something that like for me, I did not want to go through what my parents went through and my grandparents. Like, everybody in my family got divorced. And even though my mom technically didn't get divorced, she still had me with her boyfriend in college before she married my stepdad. And so like, to me, that's why I've never have like, obviously I've done things, but I was never like, and that was a fear for me of being with somebody and being with one person, was because I just never wanted to get divorced. So I think that parents need to definitely step up and do a better job with how they show their children what marriage looks like. And yeah,
so we do that. What is something with ending this? I want to ask all three of you really quick. Start with you, Keegan. What is a message you would give to a single male or woman that is looking forward to marriage here very soon? What is some advice you'd give them?
Wow. Man, I would say that
you're still waiting for yours.
I am. Yes.
So go.
I would say that this is something that I'm walking through in this season, is you need to have a strong foundation and be really, really have your marriage solidify with Christ first before you can be married to another person. So really like
be married to Jesus first.
Exactly. Like, but like really, really, really be in marriage with him. And it's like, I have to learn how to be a bride before I can be someone else's bridegroom. And I have to learn from the bridegroom so that way I can become, you know, the best bridegroom. And so that's something that I would say. And also too, like, don't think that marriage will fix your problems. Cause I thought that marriage would fix my lust issues, or, you know, I thought that it would fix all that, but it doesn't. And so I was like, wow, if I could just be married, if I could just have a wife. But what I've been finding out is that my lust issues actually come from rejection. It comes from pain. It comes from trauma. And so I just encourage you guys to really, really, really allow the Lord to heal you in all those areas. Because what I've realized is that I'm grateful that I'm not married right now, because I could have been married right now. I could have chosen that. But if I would have, I would have brought a lot of baggage and garbage into my marriage that wasn't necessary to be there. And so don't be ashamed. Don't have guilt. Don't have condemnation on the things that you've done in your past. And again, you don't want to bring that into marriage. So allow the Lord to heal that. And I think that you should be able to fully, fully give your testimony to whoever it is that you plan on pursuing in marriage. And you should be able to be confident to share that with the body of Christ before you go in and commit yourself and yoke yourself with another man or woman of God.
Very, very good answer.
Yeah.
Biggest thing I took from that is, make sure Jesus is at the foundation.
Yeah.
So you build on top of anything. What about you, Mark? You got any words for him?
Yeah, I'm going to just say it like this. An insecure person was never insecure, if that makes sense. An insecure person was never insecure. And I believe that's one of the biggest things, is that insecurity can draw you on everything external rather than what's internal, which is the Christ in you. And I believe that in singleness, if you can secure the areas that needs to be secured in Christ, which is Christ's fullness in you, operating through you, secure yourself financially, secure yourself mentally, emotionally, and on the will of God. I believe that this can draw you to that marriage that you desire, because a lot of the times that insecurity is feeding on everything that is external, the things that will not truly bring true satisfaction to you, true happiness. It will originally just lead you to just counterfeit things. So let that insecurity die in you. Every area in your life that is not secure, secure those areas. Evaluate your heart. Do a personal heart check. You know, a lot of the times we want to play the blaming game, or we want to try to find our security in people, and we will fail every time we do that. So I think the biggest thing is to take that time in singleness. Like Keegan said, find yourself, fall in love with Christ, the Christ in you, and in due time, the Lord will lead you to that right person.
Amen. Isaiah, you look like you were about to fall asleep sitting under that tree.
No, I was just soaking.
Like, I felt like I was going to be like Jesus to, was it Nathaniel? I think it was. I saw you under the terebinth tree.
Yeah.
That man's head was right under that leaf, boy. And his eyes looked like they were gone, boy. Yeah.
I was taking in revelation.
The eyes
are
going sideways.
What would you?
My eyes are low. My eyes are naturally low.
Hey, what would you tell him,
from my own personal experience?
Keegan fried you just now, but keep going.
That's all right. That's okay. I love you, Keegs. It says, delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And I truly believe that comes with allowing the Lord to shape your desires and what you really want and what you really need. I mean, everyone kind of said the same thing, like Keegan and Mark. Y'all look, you said the same thing in different ways, but it's like the Lord has to be the first thing. Like anything else outside of that, you're rushing it. So like, it's like we're trying to build a house, right? The family, we're trying to build a family, right? But it says if the Lord doesn't establish the work, the workers labor in vain.
Yeah.
So like if the Lord doesn't establish that relationship you're pursuing, you're literally pursuing it in vain.
Right.
So I would say slow down. I would say slow down. Hit the brakes and look.
And don't marry just because of your need to have sex.
Right. I grew up, I had a girl all the time. At all times. Whether it was my main girl or my side girl, whatever, I had a girl at all times. And like, that was not even realizing. I realize it now, like having the Holy Spirit, but that's the most perverted way of looking at marriage, because it's selfish, because it wasn't about the other person, the significant other person. It was about my own physical needs or desires that I had. And it taught me that even now, right? Even now as a Christian, that I'm like, do I want to be married because I genuinely want to come together with someone and build the kingdom, or do I want to get married to satisfy my own flesh? You know, so it's like, if that's a question in your mind, slow down, you know, because the last thing you should be worrying about is that. And I think to sum it all up, it's like, if God isn't establishing that relationship, oh, and to add to that, don't over spiritualize everything. You know what I'm saying? Don't throw a million fleeces. Like if it rains, like I did one time, I was like, if it rains, you know, she's the one of like, if they text me this name, then they're the one, you know what I'm saying? Like, sure.
God told me. God told me that this is my wife. I had a dream.
Right. Don't over spiritualize it. Keep it biblical and say, hey, is my character and heart in check? Am I rushing it? Because lust rushes, like how you see in Proverbs, it doesn't care about how you feel, what your emotions are. It just wants to get to the point, into the climax. And is wise counsel around you? Do you have wise counsel helping you get these answers, this direction? Because if you're just out here soloing, like, yo, I saw Shotty down the block and Holy Spirit was like, that's the one, and your pastor's looking at you crazy, I think you need to reevaluate that voice that you're hearing. You know what I'm saying? And yeah, man, God's like that in a nutshell. But yeah, I could keep going, but it's like we all said the same thing, kind of. Sure. You know? But yeah,
no, these guys gave great answers. The reason I like them being here is talking about the subjects, because they are single, they are getting ready for their bride to come, as we are preparing for the bridegroom to come and pick us up, his pure and spotless bride. I hope that you're saved. If not, get saved today by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and accepting him as Lord and Savior, repenting of your sins and having him as your bestest friends. Look, guys, I want to hear in the comments section, talk to us. What do you guys think about this? Share some of your stories. What has made you, what wisdom have you gained throughout the years, especially you married couples, that you could tell to the single people? How's it been? How's walking around and living in this world and waiting for your significant other to come? How has it been? And also let us know, has this conversation helped you? You know? And if you're first time watching this, make sure you subscribe, hit the notification bell. You want to be notified of every video that comes out. You need to put the notification bell on. Like the video, shoot it into the algorithm, and share so your friends and families can hear about some of the things that plague the Christian single world and keeps people in singleness. Now, God did say some people are blessed with singleness. They're out there. If you feel like you are, amen. If not, then keep praying and desiring that special wife, because the Bible tells us he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. And ladies, that means you are that good thing for somebody out there. Just stay in the word, continue to pray, continue to love Jesus Christ, and continue to move forward in your God-given destiny, and you'll run smack dab into that significant other that you're looking for. Guys, this has been episode 15, That Supernatural Talk, and episode 15. Crazy. 5, 10, 15. Triple grace. We give it triple grace.
Amen.
Amen. So anyway, guys, I'm going to pass it over here to Glory Boy number 2, Keegs Ice. He is going to give you guys some announcements, and we'll see you for episode 16 in the next week. So anyway, hey, love you guys. Appreciate you, and see you soon.
Amen. Thank you guys so much for watching episode 15 of That Supernatural Talk. Hey, I wanted to give you guys some important announcements. As you guys know, we are now almost in 4 months now of creating this amazing, amazing podcast. As this is being dropped, we will be in California for those of you who are listening. And I want to let you guys know that to support us in traveling and to be able to go and spread revival all over the world and to be able to continue to do this podcast, we are funded by amazing people like yourself. So if you guys want to support the vision that God has given and supplied to Apostle Daniel Adams to continue to spread this amazing online global movement through the supernatural life, please click in the descriptions below. You guys can become a forerunner. You can become a part and sow into what God is doing in this ministry and gain access to so many resources, schools, local online communities that teach, train, and equip the saints. You guys can also partner with this podcast by going to our link through Buzzsprout and supporting and becoming a monthly donor. And the best thing you can do is become a member of That Supernatural Talk YouTube channel. We do amazing, amazing behind the scenes content, videos. I'm telling you guys, you want to become a member to see an even more raw, real side of us for the podcast. So make sure you guys do that. Hey guys, we love you so much. Please make sure that you like and share this video and subscribe to That Supernatural Talk. And hey, sow where you grow. So make sure you guys sow into all that we're doing here. And we love you guys. We'll see you for episode 16 of That Supernatural Talk. Mm-hmm.